Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm your host, Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor. Remember, I left my day job back in 2017 to focus on educating others about passive income. This show is all about helping you build financial intelligence so you can build financial freedom. We've got a great guest on the show today. His name is Dan Krasinowski. He said, call him Dan K for short, because it sounds like Krasinowski from Duke. So I will revert to that hopefully through the rest of the episode. And he is executive vice president at rocketdollar.com. He knows all about the power of self-directed accounts and solo 401ks, really helping us understand a better way to create a diversified real estate portfolio, specializing in self-storage investments, multifamily, hard money, residential property loans, et cetera, et cetera. A well-rounded, diversified portfolio is the name of the game. Dan, welcome to the show.
Awesome, Clay. Great to be here today.
Well, thanks so much for joining me. So give us a little background. How did you get involved in this space? Kind of take us back to the beginning and what really got you excited and the cash register starting to ring around this idea of self-direction.
Yeah, well, first I got to compliment you on getting my last name right. So I would guess that you're Woo-hoo. From... You know, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the Pennsylvania and maybe the world of broadcasting, you know. But it's always, I always found it on television, like the easiest names were the, you would think it would be like John Smith. Am I getting that right? No, it's Smythe. Smythe. But I asked you beforehand. So.
Yeah, well, first of all, kudos. My sister went to Pitt, so my dad always played favorites. And
University of Pittsburgh. Graduate right here, class of 1999. So small world. We have a lot of friends in common.
It is. And I was across the state in Pennsylvania at UPenn in Philly. And, fast forward, we have a lot of common friends. And my decade, I'd say, kind of out of school, pretty standard to maybe a lot of folks on the call. My 2000s, I worked for Merrill Lynch and then worked for General Electric and did the 9-to-5, always maxed out my 401k, got good grades, as they call it, from my managers. And even before the financial crisis, I started to have had a gut feel that I don't really see myself doing this exactly for the next 40 years and kind of quote unquote, say, trusting the system, set it and forget it with some target date mutual funds. So lo and behold, I was co-best man in a wedding with a gentleman, coincidentally also from Pennsylvania, from Scranton. And as we're getting changed, he says, hey, we're talking, what do you do? And he says, I flip houses. I'm like, that's interesting. What's that? And all I really understood what he said is you get 15% returns. So that excited me. So I immediately, of course, texted my parents to say, hey, I think this is something you should also consider. And then the big light bulb moment for me was, he said, did you know you can use your retirement dollars? And for me, this was mind-blowing that, instead of me just looking at the 10 options within my Fidelity portal, I was really opening my eyes to, hundreds of thousands of potential real estate and non-real estate opportunities across the country. So that was my, I'd say, first taste of it going back, almost a decade now.
No, that's great. So what was your first investment? What did that look like? Leaving the sort of mutual fund space. I mean, we've all been there, right? We've all been lied to about that process.
Yes.
Told that the 401k in your office is the number one way to build wealth and mutual funds and just kind of set it and forget it. Well, you can forget it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, my true first investment and, dating myself a little bit, but in addition to real estate concurrently, before Austin, Texas and Rainy Street became, the most hip street in the world, as they call it, I was with some friends and they invested in a bar and said, hey, do you want to invest in maybe a coffee shop, some of these other endeavors? So in short, what is now known as crowdfunding, we were just doing as a bunch of guys and gals together. So I would say my first true investment, was a comedy tour. And so if you really want to just do things for a write-off, absolutely. It's a great way to write off your investment. I remember sitting with my wife at a show in Dallas and being, sweetheart, I hope you like these because these might be $1,000 seats. And of course, lo and behold, ultimately that's what they were. You know, that said, I did that with my piggy bank checking account, not my retirement dollars, but that was my first, you know, investment. And, you know, fast forwarding now is, especially with crowdfunding paying, you know, top line year one dividends off of revenue, it's something that as I get my real estate dividends for fun, I might throw in, you know, 500 or 1,000 of the bar or restaurant down the street just to support.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, that's very similar to our path and you know, just playing in the game, trying different things mm-hmm. and getting started. So take me to, you know, realizing the power of unlocking the sort of self-direction and starting to really look at real estate as your, you know, maybe one of your main pieces of action going forward in your life.
Yeah, I mean, as I see it, definitely on the, you know, for with my retirement side. So I, much like you, we crossed 40 years old. So that whole 60 or, you know, you're halfway there does not seem that far away from me now. So with that said, I've had a few light bulb moments also over the past year. And I'd say the most impactful one for me is sitting at one of these family office high net worth shows. And even in front of open doors, a lot of folks say, well, yeah, we have less than 10% of our stuff in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. Everything else is in real estate and private companies. So for me, particularly with checkbook controlled self-directed accounts, I have been able to build up a very similar portfolio with the majority of the assets in real estate. A lot of them are, you know, paying preferred dividends along the way, but at the same time, really supporting either entrepreneurs that I trust and think they have a great background, some other, you know, fintech, biotech companies, and, you know, ultimately a few plays that are just supporting, as we call it, you know, the other side of the tracks. And I think an entrepreneur in good faith, they'll recycle that money, you know, time and time again, and still pay you, you know, call it your 10% loan or so.
Mm-hmm. So for our audience that's not familiar with self-directed investing, I mean, I hope they're probably a new listener, because if they're an old listener, mm-hmm. I'm going to be upset, because we've really been trying to drill this lesson into our audience's head about the power of self-directed investing. But for the audience that doesn't know, why don't you give us your take on what is self-directed investing?
Absolutely. So self-directed investing is you have the opportunity to take back control of your retirement dollars to invest in what you want, when you want, without paying taxes or penalty. So a very simple example, let's just say, I'll take my alter ego here. Let's say you work 10 years at Merrill Lynch, 10 years at General Electric, and you're on a third company. Most likely you have a 401k, or you call it a quote unquote old 401k, from those first two companies, sitting at the likes of a Fidelity or Vanguard, probably sitting in, you know, a mix of stocks, bonds, mutual funds, let's say, or maybe even in cash, you learn that your buddy is raising money to buy, you know, let's just say a self-storage facility. Wow, this is great. And he says, I'm going to pay 10% dividend. So right now, I'll pick on Fidelity, within your Fidelity portal, you're really limited to what you could invest in. It's probably a few ETFs, you know, the target date retirement fund. You cannot invest in quote unquote private or alternative assets. What you need is a self-directed account. So I say this with a capital S, capital D. And ideally, you're in a checkbook control self-directed account. So you know, the most common transaction here, let's just say in this example, you know, my alter ego is still at a W-2 job, maybe working at Dell now because I'm in Austin, Texas. But I have my quote unquote old 401k, probably termed as a rollover IRA. Let's just use round numbers and say I have $250,000 in there. I can roll over, once again, tax-free, penalty-free, or transfer as much or as little as I want out of that. So let's say in this example, I move $100,000 into a self-directed IRA. And then from here, I can finally invest in that desired private real estate transaction, the self-storage facility. Now, as dividends come in, the money will go back into your self-directed account. And let's just say the value doubles from 100 to 200 when they sell the property 10 years down the road. That 200 principal will go back into your retirement account, where at this point, you can either invest in another quote-unquote private alternative, or even if you wanted to, you know, we rarely see this, but move the money back into the likes of a Fidelity or some sort of brokerage account. You know, the main point to sum up is to say whatever you can do, and I'll talk about on the exceptions in a moment, with your piggy bank checking account, you are now able to do with your retirement dollars.
Yeah, it's really, really powerful, really powerful. Now, you mentioned some of the exceptions, and this can really burn some people if they don't play by the rules. What are some of the exceptions, things you cannot invest in?
Yeah, so three exceptions, and primarily one comes to the table. So the first two, no life insurance, no collectibles like Air Jordans, collectible cars. The most common one would be no self-dealing, meaning not yourself or your linear family. So what this means, being very specific, is that you know, you cannot, we were joking about Ocean City, Maryland before the call, you cannot buy a flat at Ocean City, Maryland, and then spend your weekends there, because you, your spouse, your children, your parents are considered disqualified persons. That would make this a prohibited transaction. A second example, you would not be able to invest, say, in your own startup. Everything else pretty much is in play, and the rules are very clear. And as I said, what's very nice is the IRS is telling you the very small handful of things that you cannot do. Everything else is completely in play. So I'll take a pause there. But yeah, for me, it's just been, I'd say at least at Rocket Dollar, we've seen, you know, well over, you know, nine figures of money across our platform at this point. And there really hasn't been any, you know, issues in the gray area, because we make it very clear up front through our knowledge base, through conversations with myself, our fulfillment team, what you can and cannot do. So if somebody is in the gray area, we kind of nip that in the bud, you know, really early on.
Right, right. Let's talk about diversification and why that's so powerful. Moving away from the mutual funds, but into real estate and what you guys do. Obviously, you're big, you know, big focus on self-storage investments, multifamily, hard money residential loans. Take me through what you believe a strong diversified portfolio should look like.
Yeah, and I won't give exact numbers. And you know, I'll preface: there's still a portion of, you know, I'd say my early in investments in stocks. I have a great, my initial manager, a great mentor of mine from Merrill Lynch. He's been, you know, doing it for 40 years, and I feel he does it better than anybody else. So there's always a component in the stock market. Bonds are a little bit of a tougher putt. I mean, there might be a few legacy things, but that's basically on zero. And I've completely moved away from those target date funds. That said, a majority of my retirement dollars are across self-storage, multifamily, and then single family. And I'll be specific why I look at these three in a moment. And then in addition, as I referenced to, very, very targeted, a biotech company. This gentleman's already exited for over $1 billion. So I feel good having my money with him. A few fintech companies. And I say this because I've been intimately in the space. And then finally, female entrepreneurs that I believe in. You know, A, they've always paid. B, I think they're doing great things for their personal company and community. So, and then I'm sure, as I said, I'll toy along with some of fund crowdfunding. But really going back to the real estate side, why I like self-storage, you know, first and foremost, I cannot say it's recession resistant, but I can very deep confidence say it's recession proof. Even in, I think, 2008, 2009, one of the four REITs went down like a quarter of a point or so. So officially, you know, they were not resistant, but they got pretty close. What I like about storage is on the demand side, it's two things. And I think you always have to look at the micro market also. So I'm not speaking broadly across the country. I'm saying the micro market, and we, where I invest in, is secondary, tertiary markets in Texas, because the world is moving to Texas. It's a pretty business-friendly state. I still think there's a, you know, an attachment to your stuff, maybe a little more in Texas than some of the coastal towns. So with that said, why I like storage, and I have probably a disproportionate amount of my assets versus maybe some of the other folks on the call, is that A, I know the space. I was in it before on the tech side. I was a speaker on stage, kind of an expert in it. And then finally, I said, it also ultimately comes down to the demand. Most Americans that need storage, and you use it because you're moving, grandma dies, you get divorced, you need to shrink down for a few months, you need to put your documents, everything you have to print out for a legal lease. There's a whole bunch of reasons why you need storage. And from a pricing point, when times are good, you have your mortgage, your car payment, your health insurance, your cell phone, your gym membership, and then storage. Right. when times are bad, you may have to flip the switch and say, "Ooh, I got to cut down on my mortgage, but wow, I'm actually more attached to my Christmas lights and my bike that I take out once a year." So from that said, it's a really great business model. And, the two other things, multifamily, as I said, in the submarket, I think makes a lot of sense. A lot of these commuter towns, particularly folks that don't want to live deep in an MSA, but maybe be by a train. So I'm outside of the greater Seattle area is where I focus at the moment. And then finally, for the single family, it's just, I think this really comes down to who you trust or who is the quote unquote A player. And the gentleman I referenced early in the call that introduced me to the space, he has not missed on a payment in 15 years. He's extremely transparent. So I feel great anytime, he's kind enough to reach out to me and says, "Dan, can you throw in, an extra 10K up to 100K? And for me, it's an easy answer.
Right, right. So you guys make it really simple to get your self-directed investing started, set up those accounts, and then you can, sky's the limit with where you want to go. So take me through some of your, if you're on rocketdollar.com, you're mm-hmm. seeing, Rocket Dollar Gold. So mm-hmm. how do you feel about gold as a part of that diversification?
Yeah. So, we use, just to be clear, gold, the nomenclature, there is gold per se as part of what you could invest in. And I think it's fair to consider up to 5% in gold or something that tracks gold. That said, our gold, just to be clear, is our, we'll call it premium offering. And so at Rocket Dollar, I'd say...
What's your gold account? I got it. I thought it was... portal for gold. Got it. Now I understand.
No worries. But I do want to touch on briefly what's nice about this is, we listened really strongly, and I think to the tune of 10 to 30,000 of our initial sales and support calls, and said, what do folks really want? So where we, I think, made the right bet. So historically, these have been a custodial self-directed IRA, which means that it's like checking in with mom and dad for your allowance money. It's like, I need $5 to buy pizza because I buy pizza on Friday night, but you're stuck talking to them for an hour. You're like, oh, this is ridiculous. I don't want to do it. That's basically been the relationship with the other custodial IRAs for the last, 50 or so years. What we've done at Rocket Dollar, we've launched checkbook control self-directed accounts. And I say that in that order because the checkbook control is just like we referenced earlier. You have access to your money at all times. We never touch it. We never tell you what you can or cannot invest in. And then all else equal, if you're self-employed, the solo 401k is, I would consider, the better of the two products because you can contribute up to $62,000 a year, borrow up to $50,000 at a time. It's extremely powerful. And then finally, going back to the gold, some folks, may want a unique name for their the LLC that we have in the background. They may want to invest in startups and go off of Roth money as opposed to traditional money. They may not want to fill out or at least be made aware of some of the, the tax obligations, meaning the forms. It doesn't really move the needle on the cash side for taxes that have to be filled out. And then finally, life gets busy and you might need an expedited service. So all of this, and there's other bells and whistles, were morphed into our gold product. And, we're very happy we formally launched this in October. And are seeing, a very fair percentage of folks electing gold.
That's great. So if someone then, once they set up an account, wants to invest mm-hmm. in real estate, and they want to, what does that process look like? Once that account is set up, I know from my personal experience, it can happen pretty quickly, but what are some of the hoops and hurdles that people have to jump through in order to make that first house purchase inside their self-directed or the solo 401k?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. First and foremost, you want the account opened and funded before engaging in the real estate transaction. Once again, the big reason here is that you or your spouse are disqualified persons to your IRA. So you cannot, for example, put a down payment and then a month later be like, hey, my IRA is buying the property. That's going to cause a lot of red flags. So first and foremost, get the account open, get it funded. And then secondly, it's pretty vanilla versus other investments. Of course, if you're just doing a passive like 50K, 100K investment, that's just like writing a check. If you're buying, say, a property, I'll give two brief examples. And just for simplicity's sake, I'll use round numbers. Say it's $100,000. If you have a rule of thumb is if you have 110% of the value post-close, you can buy the property outright. And then the second would be, and more common, let's say property B is $250,000. You would need a non-recourse loan. So put the 100K down. And what this means, if stuff hits the fan, the bank can only go after this particular property, not your other retirement assets, not your personal assets. And then from there, all the money that moves in and out, of course, will have to come back to your specific, the checking account portion of your retirement account. And that's pretty much it. You know, as I said, once again, you cannot stay there. You should not be the person that's physically changing light bulbs. You want a manager for that, but you could, of course, collect the rent check and, you know, sell the property when you want.
Right. Right. And that's where our team comes in at my company to be able to help that process. So it's a good marriage here. So, Taylor, is there any other points we wanted to hit here? I know you're doing something great for our audience today, and I want to share that before we go. Can you share that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first and foremost, for folks that want to reach out to me, I won't spell my last name because we'll be on for about another 20 minutes. So I'll keep it simple. My email, Dan@RocketDollar. That's one word, Dan@RocketDollar.com. I'm also pretty active on LinkedIn. Feel free to reach out. And then, you know, more so, I think to really learn about what we talked about today, check out RocketDollar.com/Clayton. So www.RocketDollar.com/Clayton. And then as a big thank you and courtesy, you know, if it makes sense at this time to move forward with the Rocket Dollar account, I'd love to offer $50 off, and please use the code Clayton19 as the year we're in, as we're recording this today, Clayton19, and that'll get you $50 off.
Cool. Thank you so much. So that's rocketdollar.com/Clayton. And then if you move forward with an account, which is very cheap, by the way, and then it's Clayton19 to get yourself $50 off of your setup. And that's so great. That's so great. So final thoughts, as you're like looking out over the next 2 years economically, people worried, fearful of different things. And I that's why I'm so strong on real estate. And you talk about self-storage as being recession resistant or even recession proof. You know, where are you seeing some of the biggest shifts in the coming horizon?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is, I would say the millennial mindset hitting the boomers and the early Gen Xers. And what I mean by that is I talk to a lot of pilots. They're about to retire. And it's amazing how many say, they're just like, no way I'm going to be in the stock market the next 30 years. I'm going to move that $1 million over. I'm going to buy, you know, 5 places in the Caymans to rent out, you know, of course, all of my 6th property for myself, right. You know, with my piggy bank checking account money. But that's what they're seeing from diversification. And you're also seeing, I'd say a lot of folks in their 50s, a lot of professional females that are buying that property, knowing that the cash is going to come through. And then once you're over a certain age, like in your 60s, you can take out some of that money without the early age withdrawal penalty. So I'm seeing the movement there. And then, you know, as we call it the millennial and even Gen Z mindset, I think there is a strong distrust, especially to put all your money, if any, kind of in just a, you know, with an advisor or even in the stock market. So naturally, I think as they put their dollars in, it is becoming this diversified portfolio. So I think we're seeing folks move towards the diversification, with where I think the big wave is going to be once the stock market, and I'm not saying it's going to go down anytime soon, but I do think, you know, we're going to see a moderation and a flattening for a little bit, where people are going to say, you know, this is flat, bonds are paying zero, dividends are, yields are going down in stocks, but these real estate things are paying 8 to 10%, and I can walk down the street and see it, feel it, touch it, and I see people moving in every day, or in storage I see people moving the U-Hauls there every day. Yeah, this is probably where I want to put 100K, because then I'm getting my nice, you know, dividend that I can do stuff with. So that's where I think the world is going to, for, you know, playing regardless of what your age is, where I think both folks on with your personal account and your retirement dollars are going.
Yeah, I think you and I are on the same page, and the power of the self-direction to take that money out tax-free. if you're smart about how you set it up in the beginning. Such a powerful, powerful tool. So Dan, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I really appreciate it. I want everyone to check out rocketdollar.com/Clayton. And then of course, use that code Clayton19 to get your $50 off. Thanks again, Dan. I really appreciate it.
Awesome, Clayton. Always a pleasure.
And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. And we'll have everything we talked about on today's show inside of the show notes page. So please check that out. Until next time, everyone, go out there and take action. Become a real estate investor. I don't care if it's self-storage units. I don't care if it's single family properties. Just go and do it. We'll talk to you next time.
Has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.